Can you hear me, brother? Please be praying for us. I feel extremely empty and need of prayer this evening. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like to turn over to Book of Daniel chapter 3. Please be praying for us that the Lord's name would be glorified and that his people would be comforted, strengthened. If we're preachers worth our salt, that's the whole reason we preach, is to glorify our beautiful Lord's name and to just try to help his people. And if that's not being done, I don't want to talk. But over in Daniel chapter 3, this is very familiar to Bible readers. Daniel was the first book I started to read whenever I started reading the Bible. Then I went to Matthew. But we found out over in Daniel chapter 3 about three Hebrew children, Brother Hananiah, Brother Azariah, Brother Mishael. We find out about them and a situation that they go through. And in this situation, Nebuchadnezzar, the king, has built a golden image, 90 feet tall and 9 feet wide. And he has commanded the whole kingdom that he is over, that whenever they hear a certain music, that they're all supposed to come before this great golden image, and they're all supposed to fall before it and worship it. And some of the folks in that area found out that the Jews weren't doing that because they were obedient Jews. They found out these three Hebrew children weren't doing that. And so they went and told on them to Nebuchadnezzar the king. And then they bring this information to the king. And a lot of us are familiar with this biblical account, but I want us to glean some stuff from it. But anyway, whenever the king found out, he was furious. And he said, he called them by their the names that he gave them. He said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, is this true? Have you not bowed down to my image? And he says, I'm going to give you another chance, basically. And whenever you hear the music again, if you bow down, well, that's good. If you bow down and worship my image, good. But if you don't, I'm going to throw you in this fiery furnace. I'm going to throw you in this fire that's huge enough for at least three men to be thrown into. And they didn't. And he told them, he said, and if you don't bow down to me, who is that God that is going to deliver you? And I love the boldness of the three Hebrew children of Brother Hananiah and Azariah and Mishael there. They said, we are not careful to answer you in this. And they said, our God is able. Oh, brothers and sisters, if the old Baptists believe anything, we believe in an able God. Amen. I tell you, I love preaching about an able God who ably saved his people because he's able. He wanted them saved, so he did. But I mean, you could just preach for hours on the ability of God. And then, but they said, our God is able. And they said, we're not going to bow down to your image. And then Nebuchadnezzar was furious, and he took the strongest men, it says, he took the mightiest men to grab a hold of the three Hebrew children there, and they threw them in the fiery furnace. And there was, from my understanding, there was such a back blow from the fire whenever they entered the furnace, and they consumed the men that threw them into the furnace. And Nebuchadnezzar looked into the fiery furnace after the three Hebrew children were in there. I mean, think about that. Three people, three believers, three of God's people were just thrown into this fire. And Nebuchadnezzar looks into it. And you know what he sees? Ain't nothing wrong with them. They're just walking around. And what I want to pay attention to is in the 24th and 25th verse, after Nebuchadnezzar throws them into the fire, and then he looks into the fiery furnace, and look at what Nebuchadnezzar says there. It says, then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto him, and said unto the king, true, O king. He answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. I think it's beautiful to point out, not only do they have no hurt, whenever they came out of the fire, their clothes weren't singed, there was no smell of smoke upon them, there was not a hair of their head touched, the Lord protected them. But look what he says here. He says, and he answered and said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. He said, did not we throw three in there? I see four. And the form of the fourth is of the Son of God. I want to tell you the way I read that, the way I understand that. That was the Lord. The Lord came down from heaven and went into that fire with those brethren. And he protected them. And he covered them up, if you will. I'm going to tell you, you look at that and you think about how amazing that is, that God himself came down from heaven and he saved those three brethren to where the fire didn't have any touch upon them. And you think about if that happened to you in your life, and not just the fact that the fire didn't hurt you, but you're able to look and see that the Lord was with you. That's amazing to me how that they were able to look and they were able to say, God was with us. God was with them right there. The Lord was with them. Brothers and sisters, don't you want to be able to say that in your life? Do you realize we're able to say that? We're able to look back in our life and we're able to say, God was with me right there. And we can look at moments in our life right now and we can say, God is with me right now. I want you to understand, brothers and sisters, just like the Lord came down from heaven and was in the fire with those three brethren, I'm going to tell you, there are times we can look at in our life and we can say the Lord was with us. We can be like Apostle Paul over in 2 Timothy 4 and 16, where he says, answered with me. No man came with me. No man stood with me. He said, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me. I'm going to tell you, Apostle Paul was able to look back at his life and he was able to say, God stood with me. Even though it felt like I didn't have anybody in this world, even though it felt like everybody had left me, because everybody had, I'm going to tell you, God stood right beside me. And he strengthened me. Has there ever been a time in your life where you felt weak, where you felt betrayed, where you felt like your brothers or sisters or kindred turned their back on you and you were trying to stand up for what's right? But nevertheless, the Lord stood with you. Have you ever been strengthened when you felt weak? I want you to understand, notwithstanding, the Lord stood with you. Go with me over to Acts 16. Brothers and sisters, if you get anything out of this, I want you to understand the Lord cares about you. I want you to understand that the Lord is involved in your life. And I want you to understand that there are times that the Lord is right there. I mean, he's never away from it. I'm going to tell you, there are times that we can say the Lord was right there with me. Go with me over to Acts 16. Apostle Paul has been led of the Spirit to go preach in Macedonia. I love this. Paul went to go this way. The Spirit said no. It forbade him. He went to go this way. The Spirit said no. It forbade him. And then the Spirit told him where to go. I'm going to tell you, sometimes people think because we split up with the missionaries all those years ago that we're not evangelistic. We don't believe in a modern mission system. I'm going to tell you what. I'm evangelistic. I want to preach the truth to God's people. And I want to preach it where the Lord sends me with his Spirit. I tell you, I want to see people who feel like they deserve to go to hell to hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then after I preach it to it, or James, or Brother James Isaacs, or Brother James Conley, one of the other brethren on here, after they preach it to them, they don't feel like they're going to hell anymore. They realize they're going to heaven. I want more God's people to feel that. And he obeyed the Holy Ghost, and he had a vision, and it sent him unto the region of Macedonia, and they came unto Philippi, and it says in the 12th verse, and from thence to Philippi. To me, the way I understand Scripture, this is going to be the start of the Philippian church. And the way I understand Scripture, the gospel had not yet been preached here in Macedonia, and had not yet been preached at Philippi. But nevertheless, look what we find here. It says, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days. So Apostle Paul and them had come to Philippi. And it says in the 13th verse, says, and on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And from my understanding of the Scripture here, that word wantman is where it was accustomed to. There was a certain place by the riverside where there was a custom for people to go and pray. And it says, on the Sabbath day, we went out of the city by a riverside where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither. And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshiped God. I want you to understand, before the gospel was even preached, it says she worshiped God. I'm going to tell you, she was seeking after God. She had not heard about Jesus Christ through the gospel, brothers and sisters. But I'm going to tell you, the Lord had born her again of His Spirit. And there was something drawing her, that she worshiped God with whatever little light that she had, with the grace in her heart that taught her to deny ungodliness and worldly lusts. And she was seeking after God. And this one who was already born again, because she was seeking after God. And we know that you can't seek after God if you're not born again. But she was already born again, even though she hadn't heard the gospel. Look what it says here. Which worshiped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, that she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul. I want you to understand, she worshiped God before she heard the gospel. So she was obviously already born again. But what I want you to understand, it says the Lord opened her heart, that she attended unto the things spoken of by Paul. The Lord opened her heart. She was already born again. But then when Paul preached to her, the Lord opened her heart, that she received the things that Paul spoke, and she attended unto them. This is beautiful unto me. Have you ever heard the gospel preached and you wanted to do what the gospel told you to do? You know what that means? The Lord opened your heart. The Lord got involved with you. If you ever been to church and you heard baptism preached on and you wanted to get baptized, the Lord opened your heart. You ever been to church and you went there feeling like a horrible sinner deserving to go to hell, and whenever you left, you felt reassured that you were going to heaven and you could just taste it? I'm going to tell you, the Lord opened your heart. The Lord got involved with you. The Lord cares about you. If you've ever been backbiting and you go to church and you hear about, don't backbite no more, and you're convicted to be a better person, I'm going to tell you, the Lord opened your heart, for you attend unto the things that were spoken to you. Brothers and sisters, right now, you know what you and I need to know? We need to know God cares about us. And if you've ever been into the house of God and you've heard a message and it made you want to be a better person, If you've ever been in the house of God and you heard a message and it made you realize that you're a sinner saved by grace, or if you've ever been in the house of God and you heard a message and it reassured you of your faith, I'm going to tell you the Lord got involved that day and he opened your heart. Go with me over to Matthew chapter 16 as we wind this down. Oh, brothers and sisters, I want us to realize we worship a personal Savior. He loves us. He cares for us. He deals with us here in this life. Over in Matthew 16. I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, I think sometimes we just gloss it over where it says over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 12, when Peter says that whenever the gospel was preached, it was preached with the Holy Ghost coming down from heaven. I'm going to tell you, the Holy Ghost is gone. And it's saying that whenever the gospel is truly preached, that God comes down from heaven. If you've ever heard the gospel preached and it stirred you up in a good way, and you said, oh, I felt the Spirit, that's God. Do you realize that that's God? What you're saying is, I felt God today. You're saying God came and sat by me. God touched and opened my heart so that I would obey and be a better person. Over in Matthew chapter 16, in the 13th verse, it says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesar Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say, thou art John the Baptist. Some say Elias. Others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. I'm going to tell you, that would flatter me to death. If you heard me preach tonight, and you said, wow, you sound like the... we think you're the reincarnated John the Baptist. or we think you're the reincarnated Elijah. Or we think you're the reincarnated Jeremiah. Oh, please don't ever tell nobody that. Because he might not ever be able to be blessed to preach again. His feet get so prideful. My head would be so swollen I couldn't walk out this door. But that's not flattery to God. That's not flattery to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because they were comparing him to a man, and he's perfect. But look what the Lord says. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? He said, what's the word on the street? What's everybody saying about me? And he knew. God knows everything. Jesus knows everything. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for you're a member of the church with the best old Baptist preacher, and because of that, you're able to understand this. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, because you've been reading 20 chapters a day of your book, and because of that, you're able to understand this. Look what it says. Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, there's a couple things I want us to understand about belief. And one of them is 1 John 5:1. He that believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. You believe that Jesus is the Christ, I'm going to tell you, you're born of God and you're heaven bound. Hallelujah. Your belief is an evidence that God has worked a work in your heart. I'm going to tell you, our belief is precious because it shows where we're going. It gives us that assurance. But what I also want you to understand about our belief, he says, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. Brothers and sisters, I want you to understand, every one of us that believes in the true gospel of Jesus Christ, It's because God has shown it to us with His Holy Ghost through the preached word. When the word was preached with the Holy Ghost, God showed us the truth. Isn't that precious to you? Brothers and sisters, I'm able to tell you that the day that you believed, the minute that you believed, the Lord was involved in your life. What does belief do? It shows me I'm not going to hell. I'm going to heaven. It shows me that I got a Father. It shows me that the Lord cares about me. I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, you know why? Oh, you know why the flower shops did so well 2 days ago? Because there's a bunch of brides that whenever they see those flowers upon their table or being carried by that delivery man, it shows them that their husband cares about them. And what I want you to understand, whenever you're blessed to feel the Holy Spirit, whenever you're able to understand the reason you believe is because the Lord has revealed it to you, whenever you're able to understand that if you've ever heard a sermon and wanted to do better, it's because the Lord has opened your heart. I'm going to tell you, that should show you that God cares for you. The Bible tells us that peace is a gift of the Holy Ghost. The Bible tells us that joy. I'm going to tell you, the Bible tells us that the Holy Ghost is the comforter. So I want you to understand, if you've ever felt comfort, if you've ever felt joy in the Holy Ghost, if you've ever felt peace in the Holy Ghost, God gave you those gifts right then. He cares for you. I'm going to tell you, if you're going through something and you need somewhere to cast your cares, the Bible says, 1 Peter 5:7, casting your cares upon Him, for He cares for you. I want you to understand, your Lord cares for you. And if you need help, you go to the greatest helper there is. I love you, and God bless.